You are listening to the strongest podcast in CrossFit. This is the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Before we start the show, I'd like to thank the sponsors that are helping this podcast grow. The first one is Liberté Lifestyle. Liberté Lifestyle have the best knee sleeves in the game. I've worn all different types of knee sleeves, and I always go back to Liberté. They're super durable, they don't rip, and they last a very, very long time. So go check out Liberté Lifestyle and check out all the different styles of knee sleeves that they have. And then the next one we have is Hero Barbell. Hero Barbell is the fastest growing barbell company in the functional fitness community. Their barbells have all different colors, all different designs, super comfortable. The knurlings are amazing, and the spin on these barbells are absolutely insane. So go to Hero Barbell to check out all the different type of barbells that they have in stock. And then the last one is Sharpen the Axe. Sharpen the Axe, I've been wearing their clothes for multiple years. They're long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, shorts. I always wear them. You may have even seen them on the podcast before they became a sponsor. Super comfortable. The shorts I always wear working out because I just feel like they're a better fit for me compared to the Nikes or any other shorts in the game. So all these companies, I have a promo code. It's all type one. So click type one in all the promo code sections and you get 10% off of every item you get. So once again, thank you for these companies to help this podcast grow, and let's go to the show. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. I have a returning guest. Actually, it's been a 13 months since we last talked.
It's been a while.
Yeah, and you have a different last name too. It's Kelly. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So when you changed your name to Kelly Kelly, I was thinking, I'm like, when she was dating him at the time, and it was getting close to like, you know, answering the questions, we were like, oh shit. They're like, I'm going to have two first names.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, he tricked me. I didn't know that Kelly was his last name for like the first, I don't know, month or so that we were talking.
How do you know that?
Because we originally, it was all long distance. We met in a gym originally, but we saw each other for like a day. And then we just kind of started chatting online. It started like trash talking about open workouts and, you know, that kind of like slowly turned into flirting and turned into, you know, kind of snowballed from there. But it was mostly like, you know, Instagram messages and things like that. And his Instagram handle at the time was Lance Steele. And so I thought his last name was Steele. Kelly Steele has a great ring to it.
I like that. I do like that. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And by the time when I realized his last name was Kelly, I actually swore him to secrecy. I wouldn't let him tell my teammates because I was like, you cannot, I will never hear the end of this.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, I know you said you guys met at a gym. So mm-hmm. were you guys in California or where were you guys when you first met?
We were in California. I was trading out of, what was then Diablo Moxie in San Jose. And he was working for, I don't know if you remember, Paleoethics was supplement company that used to sponsor the CrossFit Games. And so he was their like event sales athlete manager guy. Mm. And he was doing like a California tour. He was just like bouncing from gym to gym all the way up California. But he's Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah. So we met in a gym while he was doing like a sample day and he jumped into one of our workouts and yeah, that was it.
For a second, before you said he was Canadian, I really thought he was Irish because like the last name Kelly. And I was like, okay, he might be from Ireland. And then, you know.
Yeah. He's like two generations removed from Ireland, but okay. Irish Canadian. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. So with the marriage and everything like that. So how did he propose and like, was it like eventful? Was it in a box? Or like where was the engagement?
Well, the engagement was super eventful. I guess it was eventful for us, but it was cool. We were actually in Brazil for the Brazil CrossFit Championship, and we had just finished competing. We missed the games by one spot. But we planned to stay an extra week in like the Northern Beaches area, just to have some vacation time after we were done competing. And we hiked up to this like beautiful waterfall area. It was a little bit of a treacherous hike. There were like warning signs for yellow fever. And we found this waterfall, and we're swimming around the waterfall, and Lance, for some reason, is like getting really sketchy about going in the water. And, he like didn't want to go in the water. And when he did, he was like swimming really awkwardly. I was getting very concerned that he was like going to go over the waterfall. Mm-hmm. And eventually he like comes out on this rock, and he just, you know, got down on one knee and proposed, but he was swimming awkwardly because he was trying to figure out how to not lose the ring.
So he
proposed under a waterfall in Brazil.
That's awesome. So that's kind of like, well, I mean, that's more eventful than my proposal to my wife. So we were like big bike riders at the time, and so I called off sick to work so I can go buy the ring and go home. And so the next day we went on a bike trip. And so we went to, we parked someplace, and then we went to Gloucester, Massachusetts, because we were living in New Hampshire at the time.
Okay.
And so I was like trying to get her all fired up for some reason. I was just like, hey, I didn't go to work that day, you know, blah, 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 you know, and she's like, what do you mean? And then like, she wasn't really like getting pissed. She's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Pardon my French. And so she's like, what's going on? And so I went down on one knee and proposed to her right in front of like the Gloucester fishermen in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And so she was like, well, I mean, she was shocked. So you didn't realize what was going to happen. And the whole time before that, so I'm wearing a bike jersey, and I had the ring in the box wrapped up in a t-shirt and just tucked it in one of the back pockets. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, I'm like, listen, you need to stay in front of me the whole time, because, you know, I don't want anything to happen to you. You know, and you could blatantly see the box out of the back of the back of the shirt. So I was like, you got to stay up front. And so finally, like, I took it out, and it was like, I was like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. So I tucked it. I typically, if we're like going to sit down and eat, I put shorts on, because I'm wearing biker shorts. It's a little awkward, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know how all those old dudes do it, but I'm like, I got to wear shorts. So I put shorts on, and I put the ring inside the compression shorts, so she wouldn't realize it. Cause like, when we were walking, she put her hands behind my back. And so she actually, if it was still there, she would have noticed it. But so of course she said yes. And we were riding back, and she had two flat tires.
Oh no.
On the way back. And so I fixed the first one. And then all of a sudden, like, it happened. Yeah, it happened again. And then it, another flat, and I'm like sitting there like crap. And then like before that, she's like riding her bike and the handlebars, and you could see her go like this.
Yeah.
And like looking at the ring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, eyes on the road, eyes on the road. And then, so finally she had two flat tires, and I literally had to like, she had to park underneath a tree, and I had to like literally speed to the back of the car to get her back. And I'm like, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. She's like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
nothing,
if that's
can
the worst
touch
thing
me today. Yeah.
Yeah. If that's the worst thing, I'll take it. So,
that's
so awesome. Once you got proposed, mm-hmm. and you said yes. So like, how far along was it before you actually had a ceremony or anything like that?
Well, after that, we have done everything backwards. we actually have not had an actual wedding yet.
Okay.
Hopefully that will happen someday, but we had to do the legal wedding. We did the legal wedding actually pretty quickly after that, maybe a few months later. Because like I said, he's Canadian. And so we had to start the green card process. So we were like, okay, do like the thing at the courthouse with the paperwork to start his green card application. And then COVID happened, and everything got shut down. Yeah. And so his green card got frozen. The consulates were all closed for like 6 months or more. His green card took like a year and a half longer than we thought. His everything went back up and they were backed up. And so we were living in two different countries and I was like, I'm not planning a wedding in while we're like in two different countries. Yeah, like not, he couldn't, he wasn't allowed to like live or work in the United States yet. So like we were like coming back and forth on visitors visas and, so then he finally got here. He got here, his green card, a little over two years ago now. Okay. And honestly, like, it's just been like, all right, now we're settling in and building careers and starting to plan a family and kind of like weddings, like so far. Yeah. Like we got married so far in the past that we're like, do we have a wedding now? Like, is it?
save your money.
Like, I know. It's kind of a weird thing to.
Yeah. Yeah. So my wedding only had 55 people in the wedding.
Nice.
And so like super small, like I wasn't really expecting, like, I didn't want too many people.
Yeah.
And so, and I thought 55 was great. And like, I think in total was like 10 grand or something like that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But like weddings are stupid expensive.
They're stupid expensive. And we're not like big event people anyway. That's not really like our jam. But we are big on like, you know, having our family with us and, you know, like we have close family connections. But it gets hard because we, like, his family's all in Canada. I have a really big family. They're all over the US. You know, he's super social. He has friends everywhere. So there's a lot of like international travel that has to happen. Like, how do you have a small event with all of that? It, like, kind of just doesn't work. Like, the smallest we can make it is still way bigger than we want it to be. So...
I had a friend of mine that was actually in the wedding. He actually did a plus one. And I'm like, buddy, you haven't had a girlfriend in like more than a year. And who's your plus one? Who? Some random person? And I'm like, no, you can't pull that stuff. Sorry. Sorry. And I'm like, I'm like, we can't afford that. So I hate to break it to you. But I mean, it's great and all to have like pictures and all that stuff, but it's just like, I mean, she's never put on her wedding dress. Like, we've been together for like 13 years. Yeah. And so it's like never put the wedding dress on. It's like literally sitting in a container down here in the basement. So it's like, she's like, I might just get rid of it. I'm like, no, keep it. And I'm like, but then I'm like, realizing, I'm like,
you thought about putting it on.
I'm like, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe give it to our daughter. Who knows? But she's four. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Five. So, but I'm like, yeah, it's crazy. But since you guys are married, do you feel anything different from being married to not being married?
For us, no. I think that the biggest change for us came when he got his green card and he got to like actually move here. That was when things felt like they were different, I think.
Okay.
It was just, and then like doing all of the adulting things, you know, like there was like a surprising number of things that had to happen with like, you know, bank accounts and taxes and insurance, and, you know, healthcare. And like, he's Canadian. He's like, what do you mean healthcare? Like, I have to pay for that shit. You know, like, yeah. So it's like all of those things, I think those things were like the biggest change. And then, just like actually like living together. It took us a while to get like, I don't know, to get like comfortable and confident that we were like together and like gonna be actually physically together for the long term. Because we'd done the long distance for so many years and it was all like, especially with COVID, it was so much like, am I going to be allowed to travel to see you? Are you going to be allowed to come to see me with all the like travel restrictions and things like that? And so I think for the first like several months, probably like 5 or 6 months after he got here and like moved in, we still, you know, when you're long distance, you don't get a lot of time physically present. So when you do see each other, you like do everything together. You're like wanting to maximize your time together. Mm-hmm. And it was probably like I don't know, like 5 or 6 months in, where I was like, okay, I think I can go to the grocery store by myself.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh, you go to the bathroom? Let me go with you.
Right, so. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, we were like so attached at the hip when we were together, just because that was like our autopilot. Like when we were together, we were like, oh, we might, you know, like we only get so much time together and then you're going to have to leave. So we have to like spend as much time together as possible. And then, you know, we finally settled into like, oh no, this is like for real forever. So it's going to be
that's
okay.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. That's so yeah. cool. Also it must be a real pain in the ass changing your last name. Cause I know for my wife, she had like a hard time too.
To be honest, I haven't even done that yet because it's a pain in the ass. It's Instagram official.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Legally official yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, I'll just wait till the last minute. So.
I mean, pretty much. It was one of those things where I did put it on like the, marriage license when you applied. It was like, they ask you to write the name that you're gonna take.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said that that makes it easier. So fingers crossed.
Well, that's good. That's good. So, but you also must be excited too for Michigan winning the national championship.
Hell yeah. Go blue.
Yes. Yes. I think we talked last time. Like, I'm a huge Michigan fan. So, because like up north, right. we don't really have like college teams. I mean, we have BC. They were like good with like hockey and stuff okay, like that, but yeah. their football team's like okay, but like no one really pays attention to it that much, except for like when Matt Ryan was there. But other than that, it's just like, eh. And so I needed to find a team. So I was like,
Michigan.
Yeah. And I was
it's
like,
a good choice. It's yeah. a good choice. If yeah. you got a big one.
Listen, I've been there for the hard times and I've been there for the good yep. times. So it's like not changing.
I know. So. It's been a while since we had a really good season like this last one. It was,
yeah.
this was really cool.
Yeah. So what was going like when you were watching the national championship, like what was like, were you like watched the whole thing where it was like jumping up and down, like going crazy?
No, I'm not that much of a fan. I love sports when they're live. Like I will tend like being in the big house for a game is like
awesome.
The most incredible thing.
Yeah.
And there's just like nothing else that even comes close to it. That I've experienced, yeah. even in professional sports. I haven't been to any professional game that can top, you know, being in a Michigan game. And it's cool when you know people and you're watching it live. I have a really hard time sitting in front of TV. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's just like, I can't sit still that long. I don't like the TV. We don't watch TV at home. I think my TV might turn on if I tried, but I haven't tested it in so long that it might not. So, yeah, I am not good about that. So I like follow, like keeping up with the score and stuff. And I get texts from all my friends and family, updates, but I was in the gym training.
Okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I was doing a podcast with Xander Vick and Hannah Hardy. Sorry. Hannah Hardy. So I was like doing all I did with them. And I was just like, my son was like yelling down the stairs. He's like, they just scored a touchdown.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, but awesome. Yeah, it was like, it was so funny. Cause like I scheduled it and Xander's like, you know, the national championship is on that Monday. Right. And I was like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still gotta do something. So, but it's okay. But, yeah. So, you were talking about CrossFit and training and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. did you recently just get your L3?
I got my L3 a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what was the reason why you got that instead of just sticking with like the L1 or L2?
I like the, two reasons really. One, I like the accountability for continuing education units. It's just like something that I feel like I like to learn and I like to, you know, keep myself progressing. So I would probably do that on my own anyway, but it kind of just gives me like fixed timelines and deadlines. And that helps me, you know, make stuff happen. Yeah. Otherwise things just get, you know, like they tend like things get lost to the bottom of the list if you're not on top of it. So,
true.
So I just liked that level of accountability. And then also, I knew I wanted to apply for seminar staff. at some point.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's, and you got to have your L3 to even think about it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where I am now. I'm in the internship program for seminar staff.
Oh, very cool. That's cool. So what's the internship like for trying to even get onto seminar staff?
It's basically like you attend level one seminars and, they kind of give you like progressively more responsibility, and they throw you into like teaching some of the breakout sessions for the movements and, give you feedback and an assessment, and then, you know, say, all right, we want you to come back for one more, and you do it again and you get more feedback, and then you kind of just progress through that process until they either feel like you're ready or feel like it's not a good fit.
yeah. I hear you. So what have you learned from being kind of an intern from the seminar staff that actually helps you do your coaching job too as well?
Seminar staff is a really, it's for me, it's a really different environment than coaching in one of my classes. Mm-hmm. Like the structure is very different. You're looking to, you know, you're in like very like that circle format, and you're expected to meet very specific timelines for how long it takes you to progress through each movement. I think that for me, that's been the most challenging part is, you know, like not the actual coaching and correcting and, but just like meeting those timelines and following that specific format, mm-hmm. It just takes like practice, making sure that you know what the flow is and the rhythm and how long everything's going to take. Mm-hmm. But I think the coolest thing has just been being around so many coaches that are like several levels up from me. Like these are the most experienced coaches in the world, and they just naturally explain things in so few words, but it's so simple and elegant, and it just like flows out of them.
Yeah.
That like the caliber of coaching is really cool just to surround myself with, and just try to absorb as many things as I can. To be honest, it's been kind of a fire hose that I've done two seminars now. So but like the first one, I was like, it was like fire hose of information. Mm-hmm. And I was just like struggling to take it all in. The second one, I think I was able to take more in and be more present and not so nervous.
But... yeah. I was just going to say like that first session, it must've been like super nerve wracking. You're like, I'm good not eating because like I'm not hungry, you know. I was like, you know, just watching everything and I'm like, okay, like what's going on? And
yeah,
you know, am I doing things right or whatnot?
Yeah. No, it caught me off guard how nervous I was because I don't think I really expected to be. I'm like, okay, I have like, you know, I have a lot of experience coaching. I'm really confident in my coaching ability. And then I got there and I had this adrenaline rush, like I just stepped onto a stadium floor and I was just like, oh, whoa.
Yep.
yeah. So that caught me off guard, and it definitely, I was like, okay, I gotta figure out how to manage this now.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, the nerves were higher because I was coaching with, coaches that, I knew them. They're friends of mine. My first two, staff members that I was with were Wes Pyatt and Pat Barber. And like they're friends of mine, but I also like have a very high level of respect for them as coaches. Like I know who they are and I know the caliber of their coaching. And then to be like assessed by someone who, you know, is at that level, but is also your friend, there's almost more pressure because they're your friend. Like,
yep. Yeah.
It was almost easier to do it with someone that I didn't know.
Yeah, because then they're like, they say something bad, or like the way they critique you, like say, hey, you know, you did a great job, but you may want to consider doing this way. And if like some random person said it to you, you're like, Oh, okay. But if it's like Wes or like, you know, anybody else that you know, you're like, oh, damn it.
I know. It's like I let them down or something, which is totally not the case.
Yeah. 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 And like, and I have a feeling like if you're an intern at, this is just my opinion. If you're an intern for the seminar staff, they want you to succeed. It's not like they're trying to make you fail. So it's just like, you know, obviously you need to take that critique, you know, the faint of heart, but like, just say like, okay, this is the way I need to do it better. And so, and just do it that way.
Yeah, no, I have loved that part of it. It's both a very supportive environment. They do want you to succeed. They, you know, like that in that very first assessment, I think really all they're looking for is like, are you the right person? You know, are you the right type of person for the job? They're not really like, you can teach skills and abilities and things like that, but we really can't teach, you know, like, you know, personality and how much you care and, you know, the way that you invest yourself and connect with people and things like that. So they're just really looking at like, are you the right person for the job? And beyond that, like, they want you to succeed. And they're like, these are people who have dedicated their lives to developing new CrossFit coaches. Like they're just as invested in to develop someone who's going to coach those coaches. Like that's just like what they're passionate about. So, yeah, super, super supportive environment, which, you know, like, and then on the other side of that, like, it's a very rigorous coaching environment. Like, they're going to give you feedback. They're going to give you, you know, a lot of feedback. And even, like, you know, even the most experienced seminar staff, like, they were giving each other feedback at the end of the seminar. Like, 10, 15 years into being on seminar staff, you're still getting feedback after every single seminar. You know, it's like a process that never ends. And so I think that if you're like, I'm someone who really likes that. I love getting feedback. I love, you know, I almost like when you're the most experienced coach in the room and you're not getting feedback anymore, it's really easy to get stagnant and I get bored. So like, I love that part about it, but definitely like, if you're not the right fit for seminar staff and you don't deal with that well, and that's not something you enjoy, then that's going to be a hard time because you're going to get tough. A lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so you're pretty successful in CrossFit, I think. So, you've gotten really close to coming to the games, and I know it's been tough. And so, so how does your mindset, like, what's going on with your mindset when like that something happens? Like, do you persevere to like get better, or like, what have you been working on to kind of, you know, get over that hump to get to the games?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, 2 years ago was supposed to be my last year of competing. Mm-hmm. and that, or at least the last year that I went, you know, all out for the games. Yeah. And I got so close that, honestly, my natural reaction is to like, there's a part of me that's just like, you know, mad, frustrated, you know, like, all right, it just is so motivating for me. Like, all right, now I'm going to just go hit it 10 times harder and like, make sure I make it the next time. And it didn't really work out that way. I ended up with a shoulder injury that I sustained at the end of that season that, you know, so like last season didn't go the way that I wanted it to. And this year our priorities are shifting. And so there's part of me that's like, feels like there's unfinished business. Like there's some frustration that I didn't get to check that box. But there's also part of me that's really excited for all of the other things that I have planned for my life that I've put on hold, you know, to chase my dream of going to the CrossFit Games. And those things I'm really excited for also. So there's definitely, I think this is going to be a process for me, of like finding that balance. Every time I hit one of those points where I'm just too competitive, you know, like I don't like losing, you know, I'm driven to compete. And it just makes me, you know, like it just makes me more motivated to win. And I just want to hit the gym and, you know, lock myself in the gym and train my face off until I'm, you know, but at the same time, like I have to recognize that there are other things that I want in my life that, you know, you don't get spending 6 hours a day in the gym.
No. But you did play 17. I believe I looked at your leaderboard.
Okay.
So it said you were 17th last year worldwide for the 35 to 39 age.
Oh, mate. Yeah. I honestly don't even know what I was in the age groups.
Come on. Do you want to go into masters, or do you want to actually go for like the, you know, I'm not saying you're not elite, but like to the, the elite group, like, cause I have a feeling like, you know, maybe the better option is to go masters. Cause I know you have like the seminar staff and you're married and all that stuff. So I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm just saying like, have you thought about doing masters this year at all?
100%. No. And okay. I honestly, like, I love the game so much. Like, yeah, for sure. I'm competing. Yeah. That's not going to stop. I'll throw my hat into the ring in the masters division. I think that trying to compete in the open division, I've cut back on my training time, to pursue career things and spend time with family. So, we'll see how fit I am, given the new life priorities. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting a ton of pressure on this year in particular, just because there have been a lot of life changes and I'm still kind of like getting my feet underneath me and finding the right rhythm. And I think there will be some iterating and, that kind of stuff that needs to happen. But, I can't turn off the, the part of me that just loves to compete. I'll compete forever. You know, I'm going to participate in the Open. I'll see where it is. I actually did have a conversation with Hunter.
So Hunter is one of the coaches at Misfit Athletics for all the listeners. So
Hunter is one of the main coaches at Misfit, and he's my personal coach. So I work with him individually, and we had a conversation a few months ago. I'm kind of almost hesitating to put this out there in the world, but maybe I probably should. I basically said like, okay, look, I'm going to tell you this once, and then we're not going to talk about it anymore. But I, at some point, I want to win the Masters division. I want to go to the games and I want to win the Masters division. Doesn't have to be this year or next year, but that's a long-term goal. And now that I've said it, we're not going to talk about it anymore. So just, you know,
yes,
where I'm headed. And now I'm going to take all the pressure off myself and not think about it again.
It will not be on YouTube forever anymore. After this. Yeah. So I'm just recording. I'm going to delete this.
So recording. It's not, I won't listen to this again.
well, that's awesome. I mean, so when I first started doing CrossFit, I was 27 and now I'm like 40, now I'm 44. God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So it was like, when I was younger, I'm like, all right, I'm all in, let's go to the CrossFit games. And I didn't realize like how much dedication it was to even attempt to do that. Cause I was working a crazy emergency room job, working like being in the military as a reservist in the Air Force, and then trying to train for that. And then like, I was married at the, like, I was like, I was seriously dating somebody. I didn't get married till like later on, but I would love to get in the mat. Like now being like 44, I'm like, okay, I can try to get into the Masters division. It would be great. But I'm like, there's a lot of holes I need to work on. So, my height does not help me out either. So I knew that.
Oh no. How tall are you?
6'6".
Oh dang. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't really tell in like the videos that I post. You cannot. Or that. I mean, you haven't seen the videos yet, cause you just followed me like 10 minutes ago. So
yeah.
but it's just like So the gym that I go to, the pull-up bars are so low. So the bar is like almost like here on me. So I can't get like the full extension to like butterflies, muscle ups. So it's like
deal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super hard, but like I could do handstand walking. And that's, it's just like the pull-up bar and like, even like even like handstand pushups too, to the point. Cause like I have, I got long arms, so it's going to take me a lot longer. So, but you know, just slowly working on those.
Yeah, I know. I had a teammate that year, 2019, that we went to Brazil, Connor Schmitz. He was 6'4". And yeah, it was handstand pushups were like his kryptonite. It was just like, he wasn't going to be able to move fast enough, you know, like, and then in Brazil, the pull-up bars were too short for him. You know, it was like he had his hand on the pull-up bar and his elbows are still bent and his feet are on the floor. Yeah. And we were doing like synchro chest to bar. It was the most awkward, like strict chest to bar frog kip kind of thing. And it just blew him up.
Oh, of course.
Like so much more muscularly taxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, it's hard. And especially like, it's difficult, but like the weight, like me lifting weights, it's like easy, no problem.
There you go. Yeah.
So no problem. That's like the one benefit. But I do remember watching a video on Misfit where it was like a bunch of the athletes and you were the first person to be on that video of doing that snatch complex. I'm like, I was like, damn, she moves so good. It like when you locked out and squatted at the bottom, I was just like, wow. That was impressive. Thank then like, and then like later on, like you see Xander and then, you know, obviously you see me and I do like almost a power snatch and I'm like, just like flailing all the place. And I'm like, God, like the one video you guys post on Misfit Athletics, it's like, it has to be this one compared to like anything else. I'm like, come on guys.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But, so do you like kind of try to perfect your lifting technique every day, every week, or like, how do you get to those positions that are like, just look super solid when you lift?
I've been working on it for 14 years. And I do, I was lucky enough to have really good weightlifting coaches when I very first started. I didn't really have any experience, had zero experience with Olympic lifting. I think the most I'd ever done was like back squats and deadlifts in college.
Yeah.
Was naturally like squatting kind of came naturally to me. That was just something that, my body seems to be built for. But I had my very first weightlifting coach was, he was in the US Olympic weightlifting program. And he was like he's weightlifter.
Legit.
He was legit. So he like taught me from the ground up. So I think that helped set a really good foundation for me. I just got really lucky that the gym that I went to, like that's what he did. And then from there, I like geeking out on really technical things. I'm a perfectionist and I like complexity and I like technique and like deep diving into it. I'm one of those athletes that probably, I'm one of those athletes that asks all the questions. I need to know like the physics of how this works and why you do this and what that's doing in your body and which muscles are activating. And like, you know, like I have to know everything, like all of the mechanics. And I really like geeking out on that. So I have a routine that I go through. It's probably iterated over the years a little bit. But I work positions with an empty barbell every single lifting session. And so I work on, you know, dialing that in and making that second nature every session that I lift. At this point, I think we're starting to figure out that at this point in my career and looking towards competing in the masters divisions that I need to worry less about my strength. So it's becoming a less of an emphasis in my programming and more just like keeping up my engine. Just because I have a pretty good foundation of strength at this point, but still like the positions for sure matter.
Yeah.
And there's always little things to perfect. Like there's always stuff. that you're working on. It never ends. But
yeah. So with your shoulder injury, so mm-hmm. we're like handstand pushups, kind of like, I know obviously doing handstand pushups were pretty much like not an option. So is that kind of one of the weaknesses you're kind of working on just to hone in to get a little better at that? Or what are the other weaknesses that you're working on?
Yeah, well, the shoulder injury at first was I had a problem with vertical pulling. So I couldn't do strict pull-ups, you know, chest to bar, muscle-ups, things like that. Mm-hmm. I could pull a barbell off the floor, but I couldn't hang and pull, which was interesting. But it took us a while to figure out that one. but then I, so from the end of the 21 season, 22, I don't know. I'm getting years mixed up. The one that I've barely missed the games.
by one point.
Which is
insane. So.
So at the end of that one, I had to stop all pulling movements, and we thought we were rehabbing some tendinosis. So I was just not hanging and pulling. I took all those movements out. And then in somewhere in like November, the rehab wasn't working, but I started to feel better. So I started trying to bring pulling movements back. And it jacked me up. I was in the middle of a workout, and it, I had like a nerve lockup issue. And from that point forward, all pressing movements became a problem. and so it was like, I think knowing what I know now, I had a partial tear, teres minor. And then I think what happened was that when I tried to bring pulling movements back, I, messed up my supraspinatus. It was like 20% supraspinatus. And so then all pressing things became a problem, and I couldn't do that either. Couldn't do anything until I had my treatment like 4 weeks before the Open started.
Okay.
And so was slowly building back movements all the way through last season. After the season ended, I finally took the time to like rest it. So now I'm pain free, and it's all healed, fully healed,
all right,
which is
let's
great.
Go. Let's go.
So then this last off season has been totally pain free, and we're just working on building capacity back. Okay. You know, it's weak because I hadn't used it. I wasn't able to use it properly for so long. And then when I did use it, it was kind of just like we weren't training to like slowly build capacity back. We were training to like, you have to compete now. So now we're, you know, being smarter about progressions and things like that. And
awesome.
So just working on capacity, but nothing else is a limiter.
Yeah. So how are you liking the Misfits fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth gears workouts?
Oh, yeah. well, I hate them.
Well, of course, yeah. So for the listeners, so Misfit Athletics has a section of their program called like the you know, first, second, third, fourth, and like so on gear.
Yeah.
And so pretty much is it's all aerobic capacity workouts, mm-hmm. like getting on the bike, running, or doing something like that, and you have a time frame to hit these certain numbers, and then you rest in between, and you have to hit like the certain gear. It's like the fourth gear. It means you got to mm-hmm. go faster from the last one. So yeah, they're long, and
they're brutal.
Yeah.
There's whatever gear they want you to be in is like two gears higher than you want to be in for that time domain.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, for me, that's if there was something that I'm working on, that's it. So that's just constantly what I'm working on, is just living my life on the machines, trying to get better at them.
Yeah, I try to do those gears, but the problem is like I literally only have like an hour and a half of time.
Yeah.
For me to work out. And so that's like, it's hard for me to do that because they take so long that it's just like, okay, like obviously, I mean, I know strength is not really a concern for me because I'm doing pretty good. So we're like doing the Metcons or, you know, stuff like that. It's just hard. So I'll just do like the math sessions of like 45 minutes on a machine and go. But it's just like, it's just so hard for me to even do those, getting into those gears.
Like 35, 40 minute workouts.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh yeah, I can't do that. And like, for instance, like today's workout, it was an 800 meter run, 15 GHC sit-ups and then 24 kettlebell swings. And so I kind of had to scale it because the gym has one GHD machine and they're like, they're so far away from the treadmills. And it's like, and I have to use the commercial treadmills too. And I'm like, sucks. And so we kind of scaled the GHC, but instead of kettlebells, cause I was worried about, cause it was kind of like low ceilings where we were, I was worried about hitting it cause I'm so damn tall. Yeah. So I'm like, what I did was they just did hang dumbbell snatches, but I'm like, the run I was just getting absolutely smoked on and it was like so hard. And then like my gym partner, he's shorter than me and stuff like that, but he was like going at a higher pace. And I'm like, how the hell are you catching up to me at all time? And I'm like, what level are you on? He's like a 0.5 higher than me. And I'm like, damn it. That's why. And I'm like, I gotta get so better at these. But then like, if we do like box jumps or something like that, it's just like game over. He's like, just blows up. But it's like one thing I need to work on is just getting those gears, especially like doing those like crazy movements, especially for the open too.
Yeah. Yeah, Hunter and I have talked a lot about, time management and like minimal effective dose, especially now that, you know, I've brought my training time down from what it used to be. I can't just, you know, do all of the workouts anymore. I have to pick and choose. And so figuring out like what I have time for and how to fit it in and how to maximize the time that I have is like, that's a hard thing to do. And then there's like the things that you're like, oh, I really want to do that. But what I need to do is.
It's like, oh, a heavy squat clean. Yes, please. And I will do that. And like, I have to, it's either that or run. Oh, I like squat cleans. Let's go.
Exactly. Like,
off the gram. So the open is literally like 9 days away, but this will be. This will be out like during the open. So what are your goals for this open?
Honestly, I'm just looking to enjoy it with my community. And it'll be a barometer for me of, all right, where am I at with the training that I've been doing? What's that done for me? It'll be a good test to feel out, just like we were just talking about, have I used my time appropriately or do we need to make adjustments in what we emphasize in my training program? And, I'm not very familiar with the master's division. I haven't really been focused on, that wasn't my goal in the past. And I knew I wasn't going to compete in that division. So I haven't really paid that close attention to, where I stack up or what my competitors are doing in that division. And so I have to start paying attention to that and just kind of feel out where I am and what I need to work on.
Yeah. Well, you were 17th worldwide last year. So
thank you for letting me know.
I think you're good. So, okay. so what year of the open is this for you?
Oh, I started in my first year was 2010. And then I missed 2 years. I missed 2 years because of injury. So this should be 12.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't do last year. So I'm at the 9 year badge. And it was funny because when I haven't signed up yet, I'm going to, but it was funny because they said, hey, I got an email from CrossFit saying, hey, get your first year badge when you sign up for the open. I'm like, wait a second. No, I've been doing it. I don't need a 1 year badge. I think it's 9 years. So
that's funny.
Yeah. And it was just like, why would you give me just the 1 year? Cause I skipped last year. Like what's the deal? So, but
yeah, I mean, maybe like the system didn't recognize you or.
Probably. I mean, they're like, up, oh, here's this tall white honky, so he doesn't need to be on the board. So
for sure.
But yeah, so I did, which workout? I did the burpee pull-up workout with the running.
Oh yeah.
And then I did the one rep max thruster. So I mean,
oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that, so for me being the idiot, I, instead of 25 feet, I did 30 feet. Cause I thought I went from like one side, I was like, listen, I'm just going to see where I'm at, whatever. And so I touched the end of the mat and that was it. So like from the other side, it was actually realized it was 30 feet. And I'm like,
whatever.
I mean, it's like, nothing off my back. So I'm not too worried about it. Yeah. So, but it was fun. I mean, I hit like 245 on a max rep thruster. So,
oh yeah.
I was like, that's okay, awesome. I'll take it. Yeah. And then I tried it again, like a couple of weeks ago after that, and I hit 265. So I was like,
yeah, nice.
I was like, okay. I mean, obviously you could tell barbell stuff's my jam.
That's so, your jam. Yeah. Yeah.
For some reason. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully do some damage this year too. So,
yeah. Do you have specific goals?
I mean, obviously make it to semis would be nice. And like, awesome. At least like, and I know there was like one workout, I think a couple of years ago, it was the toes to bar thrusters. And then it was this like the chest to bars to thrusters.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
That one. And then like the one rep max complex.
Yeah.
If I literally put a 1 pound plate on each side extra, yeah, I would have been in the top 10 because there were literally 30 or 40 dudes with the same weight that I had. I was like, you suck.
Yeah.
I was like, if I put like literally one extra pound, I would have been like at least like in the top 20. And I'm like sitting there like, God, this sucks. And then also, I do want to finish a workout. Like I do want to be like, you know, and like have more time to like sit, like not get hit with a time cap. Because there's been times that I have been gotten hit with the time cap, but I just want to make sure that like every single workout I have, I don't get hit with that.
Cool.
So I don't know, goals. And then the other problem is the gym that I go to is not a CrossFit gym. So I need to go to another gym and figure out like,
right,
how am I going to do this? And it's going to be like at 5:30 in the morning, you know? Yeah. Cause that's the only time I can do it.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, we'll see what happens. Whatever. I mean, I literally train at 4:30 in the morning. So it's just like, whatever.
You're nuts. 4:30 in the morning. That's crazy.
Get up at 4 and then get my clothes on, get ready to go. And it's funny. So I actually do the Misfit accessory work for my warm up.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I was just like,
that's cool.
Kill two birds with one stone. I was just like, at least I can get like a couple things and then go to the lift and then the Metcon and then be done.
Love that.
So yeah. And like I told a couple other people I did that too. And they're like, wow, I never really thought about doing that. And I'm like, why not? It's so easy.
That's cool. Yeah.
So easy. But
I like that.
But yeah, also, I forgot to mention, congratulations on you being an official, like, Sharpen the Axe, like, Misfit.
Oh, thank you.
Athletic athlete. Because the last time we talked, you, I think like a month or two later on, you actually got picked to be a Misfit athlete. So what does that mean for you?
It's super cool. I mean, I've been a Misfit athlete for a really long time. Since 2018, I've been on the Misfit program. So like, it's been like 6 years.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's the program that I found that's done the most for me as an athlete. I've seen so much progress in myself, both on the teams that I've been on and as an individual. And so it just kind of means a lot to have so much alignment with the brand and have so much buy-in. It wasn't one of those situations where it's like a sponsor reaches out to you and, you know, it's like a transactional thing. It was just like a really natural, like, I'm already doing this. We're already supporting each other. I want you to succeed. You want me to succeed. Like, you know, It feels very cool to, I don't know, just feel like a part of the team, you know?
Yeah.
In a way that's a little more integrated than, you know, following their program or.
Yeah, no, yeah. I completely agree. And I love how the it's grown, especially with like Discord. I don't really post Discord, but like, but even like Instagram and stuff like that, like I'll post a lift and like they typically respond being like, heck yeah, that was awesome. Like, you know, and stuff like that. And it's so cool because I don't even know if like a lot of these other programs would actually do that.
Yeah. That's, I think that that's cool. I think that there is such a human element. I honestly couldn't tell you either. I haven't been a part of any other program.
Yeah. I've been with Misfit for a very long time.
For a long time. And before that I was either my own coach or my coaches were like in my CrossFit gym. So I haven't really, I think we followed Invictus for like a hot minute at some point, but I don't have a ton of experience, but even before I was a sponsored athlete, like the year before, you know, I was at semifinals and, like I had Misfit athletes reaching out to me on day three, like sending me the like really nice messages, you know, I'm like on the cusp of making it or not making it to the games. And like, this is day three. It's like, you know, time to put everything out there. And like people that like, I've never met them. I don't know them except that they're another Misfit athlete that, and you know, they, you know, were sending me messages cheering for me and like really, really personal, very genuine messages, not just like, you know,
hey, congrats.
LFG,
keep
you know, not just like, you know, but like really genuine, like very personal messages. And I just thought that was so cool. You know, it was so cool to like feel like even though I'd never met them in person, that, you know, feel like you have more of a team behind you than the people that are physically present.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best teams around. And I obviously, of course, I'm biased, but
but still
like you have a group of people on Discord, social media, and like they're in like even like especially on Instagram, they're so easy to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Compared to other athletes, you know, even like some of them have large numbers and it's just like they'll respond back because they know that you're part of Misfit and they're like, you know, it's great. It's in like the Discord group's pretty fun too.
It is. It is. I think they do a really good job of communication. Yeah. And in the Discord and responding to messages, even like they put so much content out there that's so valuable.
Even the podcast too. The podcast. If you're not following Misfit Athletics, like they always put some like, you know, nuggets in there for like just any athlete to listen to. And they're like, oh no, I never thought about that. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and also, how do you like the Sharpen the Axe gear?
Oh, I love the Sharpen the Axe gear. Yeah. Of course.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So, obviously you have a promo code, so it's probably Kelly because
Kelly.
And so, how does the, like, you know, getting the promo, like someone typing your name in the promo code, and how does that help? How does that help you? And also, it helps me too.
Yeah. So Kelly will give you a discount on Sharpen the Axe gear, on Proper Fuel, on Misfit programming, and helps me, supports me. I get a percentage of that as well. And so it helps support my competition season in that sense.
Yeah, it helps you with like traveling or anything, you know.
Travel, registration, food,
all
that stuff.
Living arrangements, all that
adds
stuff.
Adds up, yeah.
Yeah. So are you actually going to do Wodapalooza in California this year?
I would like to. Okay. Yeah, I got my eye on it for sure. They haven't put much information out yet. We don't know anything about like the divisions or the structure of it yet.
Yeah.
So kind of still waiting to hear, but I definitely have my eye on it. It's anytime there's a competition where I get to swim, especially in warm water, I'm down.
I've always wanted to go to Waterpalooza in Miami, and I'm like thinking, I'm like, so this one in California is close to my birthday. So I'll be the big 45. And I'm like, maybe I can get into a competition like the weightlifting competition or whatever. Like, maybe we'll see. And I'm like, and if someone, wink, wink, if someone has a booth and they're looking for someone that needs to, that wants to do a podcast in their booth, I'm available.
Putting it out there.
So, I mean, I wouldn't mind checking that place out, because I've, the last time I was in California was with the military, and that was near San Francisco, and it wasn't near where Waterpalooza is. So obviously I know it's a lot different from where what San Francisco's like. But
yeah,
I would like to see venture out like kind of down there and see what it's all about.
Yeah, I know. Huntington Beach should be really cool. It's warmer water than it is than there is up here.
Yeah. Yeah. So how far of a drive is it down there for you?
It'll be 6-ish hours, I believe.
That's crazy.
6-hour drive.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. But we're getting close to the end. So I have some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
They're not rapid fire. You can take as long as you want. So obviously, you know, this is the beginning of the year. So do you have any like personal goals or, you know, fitness goals you want to achieve? I know you kind of talked about them earlier, but is there anything else that you want to like get this year?
I think really this year I'm looking to, you know, pursue some growth in my coaching career and find a way to strike that balance between competing and being able to compete still at a high level, but also, you know, take care of my family life and my career. And so this year really is kind of just about finding new rhythms and feeling out what that means for me. I kind of hesitate, like balance is a word that gets thrown around a lot. But I'm not really someone who does balance. I'm still kind of like an all-in kind of person with whatever I'm doing.
Same here. It is so bad.
So I don't really need balance per se, but like new rhythm with new priorities, trying to still do things, you know, at a really high level. I don't like, if I'm going to do something, I don't like doing it poorly. So just making sure that I'm optimizing the things that are most important to me in my life. So figuring out that new rhythm is just kind of my goal.
Okay. Awesome. So I know you like learning. So do you have a favorite book that you like to read? I think I know what it is. It's the weightlifting book. So it's like, you know, the real thick one. That's your favorite?
Yeah. No, man, I don't have a particular favorite, I don't think. So many books. I think one of my favorites recently has been Atomic Habits.
Okay.
And Outlive. Those are two that I've read within like the last couple of years, I think, that I really, really liked. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I read a lot. I go through a lot of books.
So I have a book. I have a book for you. I'm not affiliated with them. It's a good book so far. I'm like 3/4 of the way done. So it's called The Success Principles.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
So the gentleman that wrote the book was the author from Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Yeah. Wow.
So
that's like high school.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's older for me, but anyway, don't throw okay, it off.
Sorry.
The way he talks about like certain situations, he said there's like in the book, there's like 50 situations to kind of help you be successful in what you want to do. And so I think I'm at like 38 or something like that, but some of them are like, it is crazy easy. And I'm like, holy cow, I never even thought about maybe doing it that way instead of this way. And so, cool. it's bananas. It's like just reading that. And then also, there's a YouTube book that I just got. I forgot. Oh man. I'll send it to you, but it's a good book. Cause I know you have a YouTube channel. I know you haven't really done much with it, but
I haven't done a lot with it lately,
you need to get back on it. But,
okay.
So there's enough, it's like try to grow a following on YouTube or something like that. So
okay.
it's those two books are pretty, the one with YouTube is like a super quick read.
Okay. Try to grow a following on YouTube and The Success Principle.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't ask you who the guy's name is, but I just read it. Just type
I'll
in the success principles.
Yeah. Thank you. I haven't heard of either of those.
Yeah. So I'll actually send you a picture of it too. So,
cool.
So I think we talked about this one before, but how do you want people to know you as?
Yeah. I think I want people to know me as somebody who, isn't afraid to chase big dreams, that, you know, is all in, that's committed and dedicated to, you know, what I set myself out to do. And at the same time, I want people to know me as someone who is a good person and sportsmanlike and has integrity. Those are things that are really important to me. So, I guess, to keep it short,
just want to be a good person too.
I want to be a good person.
Yeah.
I want to be a good person. Yeah. You know, first and foremost, I want that, I want people to know me as someone who has a good positive attitude and has a good positive influence on the people who are around them. And I want to be a living example of what it takes and what it looks like to go after the things that you love.
Awesome. Very cool. And so what is in your gym bag?
Oh, so many things. How much time do you have?
We have a good amount. Don't worry. So.
Okay. Also, which gym bag?
You have two?
I am like the bag lady. I come packed for my entire day when I go to the gym.
Gosh, I can't imagine when you get older, you're probably going to have one of those like metal baskets and like have like 20 billion bags on there and just like carrying that around. That's so going to be you. I know it.
It is. My poor husband stresses him out to no end. But yeah. Okay. I have the Haven athletic bag is a lifesaver.
Okay. I was going to ask you that too. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So I have that one as my like gym bag. And I've got, man, everything that you could possibly need to do anything CrossFit, I have in that bag. I've got, probably at any given time, I've got at least three pairs of shoes in there.
Three? Damn.
Yeah, runners, Metcons, lifters. And then, yeah, sometimes I can fit four in there. Knee sleeves, weight belt, thumb tape, wrist wraps, couple pairs of grips, several pairs of the Sharpen the Axe sweatbands, because I always have to have one available to match whatever outfit I'm wearing.
Of course.
Man, headbands, voodoo floss. I always keep Sage. They have like a CBD muscle cream that I like. Several jump ropes. All the hair things, like
I mean, that's all the hair things. That's a necessity.
Yeah.
that's necessary. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. Headphones, toe spacers. That might be anything. I'm probably forgetting things.
But, okay. Well, I mean, that's
but then
good.
I have like, yeah, so that's like a gym bag. And then I have like a food bag. Like I carry a six pack than I have. I usually have an extra pair of clothes with me.
You're literally working out, and then you have to coach like later on too, right? And so it's just like, of course you need to have clothes and food and everything like that.
But yeah, no, I'm in the gym before 6 a.m. and I'm there until 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I come packed for my whole day. Yeah. All my supplements, all my food, all my, you know, clothes, change of clothes.
Yep. I hear you. So where actually, the next question is, obviously, like, you know, you get tons of, you were saying like you have people reach out to you like to be a, you know, to sponsor their stuff and whatnot. So what are some things that you would like to see for, to be sponsored with somebody like a company?
That's a good question. I guess the things that I look for in working with a company, I like to know the people that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. I guess back to that, you know, integrity and being a good person are really important to me. So it matters to me what that company is all about and what their messaging looks like and, you know, who the person is on the other end of the line. At the end of the day, we're sort of representing each other, right? You know, I represent their brand, but also like anything that they put out there, any messaging that they put out there is going to reflect on me. And that's something that, you know, I want to make sure is in alignment with my personal values and things that I use. Also, you know, I have trust built with my members, and, you know, the people that I coach and the community at large who follow me and watch me. You know, very important to me that I like get behind the product and I use the product and it, that I can honestly find it valuable. You know, otherwise that, you know, be broken trust between myself and anyone that I would recommend it to. So I think that that's, those are things I look for. I want to know the brand. I want to know that they're good people. I want to know that they're, living a life of integrity and that they're striving to put out something that is valuable to the best of their ability as well.
Yeah. So just to let you know, the three companies underneath me, all the companies I work with, I wear all their stuff.
Nice.
So it's big fan of all three of those companies. So they're like super nice and
their
stuff does not stink. So
yeah, it's good. Yes. So it does not.
No. Like, especially with like knee sleeves or like anything else, like you get like some like company that's like pretty cheap and you're like, oh, this is not good. And it's like, why do I have to, like, I would literally have to buy like multiple pairs of X just to, you know, have them look good for some of the shots that I need to do. So it's like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's, I've definitely had companies, reach out to me in the past that, you know, want to send me stuff in exchange for promotion. And I'm kind of just like, I don't use that, you know, and not that necessarily they don't make a good product. I wouldn't know. I don't use that. You know, there's just things that I use and things that I don't use.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like I wear wrist wraps. Some athletes don't need them, you know, that's just kind of a thing. And, you know, I'm not going to promote something that I don't use.
Yeah.
So that's like, I think, and then having a good quality product is
key. Yes.
That's
yes.
key. Yeah.
So last question. So where can people reach out to you if they have any questions about, you know, possibly being on the seminar staff, like dealing with marriage, you know, being a master's athlete, like you name it, like where can people reach out to you if they have any questions?
Usually my Instagram is the best way to reach me. So, I am Kelly Kelly. I am .Kelly.Kelly. Message me there. I usually respond, not always very quickly. I don't always have my phone on me.
You have coaching. A life. Yes.
I do, yes. But I will respond. Maybe not. I don't know if you ask me marriage questions. Like, I don't know if I'm a pro at that yet, but we're doing all right so far. We're
over. Yeah, you're good. So
at disclaimer. Least
the, the first couple of years of marriage, you know, guidance. So Well, thank you for coming on. Listen, I really do appreciate it. And like, it's always fun, you know, sitting down and chat with you. And it's also like, I've listened to other podcasts that you've been on. And it's like, so fun to listen to those conversations too as well. So,
thank you
for coming on. And I'd love to have you back on again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's always nice talking to a fellow misfit.
And, that's right.
All right, we'll talk. Michigan fan.
Yes, go blue. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Have a good one, Tom.